anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to your daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sophie. Well, good evening, friends. Let me add my own welcome and a particular welcome if you're new or visiting this evening. My name's Tom. I lead the church. Do come and say hi if we haven't met before. And let's pray as we come to God's word now. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And we thank you, Father, for your word. We pray now for our hearts, that you would give us soft hearts to hear your voice in your word. Would you lead us to Jesus, we pray. Amen. So there is an invitation for us this Holy Week. And I'm really expectant for what the Lord is going to do in our hearts tonight and over the next few days as we walk this journey with Jesus to the cross. And there is an opportunity for us, for you, for me, if we choose to take it. Because we live such distracted lives and our attention is constantly pulled in 100 different directions and life is busy and it's full and there's so many pressures and things that we could or should be doing. I know for myself it takes so little for my heart to get distracted and to start focusing, worrying, obsessing about looking towards other things other than Jesus. It takes so little for other things to get the best of my attention. And this week, there's an opportunity for us just to say no to the distractions and to carve out space for our King, for Jesus, as we gaze on him, as we make space for him, and as we walk with him through the days that led to his death. I encourage you to do that this week, to find space and time to enter into the story of this week. Don't get to Easter Sunday in a week and be surprised. We're going to gather, as Kath said, for Compline the next few evenings, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to have communion on Wednesday morning, Thursday evening, three services here on Good Friday, gathering together on Easter Sunday. We're going to gather to walk through the story, but you don't have to come to church to do it. You can do it by yourself whenever you carve out space to be with God early in the morning when you get home from work, whatever the time is. And my prayer is that this week Jesus would win back our hearts where we've got distracted, where we've ended up thinking and running towards other things, that just that we'd fall in love with Jesus again this week as we see what it is that he's done for us. Because we remember this week the events which changed history forever, which split it into two, but which have changed our lives, changed my life, changed each of our lives, and we've heard just some of the stories tonight. We each have a story, and it all comes back to this, that God became human in Jesus, and that he died my death and your death and was hung up on that cross, which we hang at the center of the church, to tear down the barrier, to bring us back to God as his dearly loved children. And our lives have never been the same since. So let's not allow ourselves this week to get pulled aside by distraction. Let's be men and women of one heart who are just running after Jesus. And we begin today on Palm Sunday, and as Sophie read for us, Jesus enters Jerusalem and he enters in triumph. He enters like a conquering king, and there's hosannas and there's cheering and there's palm branches and there's cloaks laid on the ground. It's a celebration. And he enters like a king, but he simultaneously upends every expectation that the people of Israel had for what would happen when their king came. And today we see what kind of king our king is and what his kingdom is like, how it is that he's going to rule, how he is going to reign. And we discover that it's not at all what anyone would have expected. Frankly, it's much more challenging than that, but it's so much better than that too. And the people of Israel were expecting a military Messiah, a strong man to come and chuck out the Romans, lead them in armed revolt, retake Jerusalem. If that's what Jesus had done, the celebrations would have continued. They'd have picked him up on their shoulders, put him on David's throne, a national rebellion, a revolution, and great celebration. But it wouldn't have been nearly such good news as what Jesus actually does. And if you're anything like me, you can understand this crowd, because we share that instinct. When you see how wrong the world's going, when you see all the problems that we face, when you just feel a bit tired and like, what can I do with all of these issues? You want someone to come in and fix it. We want a leader. We want someone decisive and strong to come and say, I can fix that. Let me sort all of those problems out. It's one of the oldest instincts in human history. But on the world stage at the moment, we're witnessing what strongman leadership looks like live in real time. And Trump started with Greenland a couple of months ago, and then it was Venezuela last month, and now it's Iran this month, using strength in pursuit of his objectives, just raw power to try and get what it is that he wants. In Venezuela, with quite a lot of success from his point of view, in Iran a lot less so at the moment, and lots of collateral damage that follows. But the thing is that even when strongman leadership succeeds perfectly in achieving all of its military objectives, the culture that it creates even more problems. And Jesus came not as a strongman to bring the people of Israel the rescue they wanted, not to make Israel great again. That's not what he came to do. He came to be a savior for the much greater rescue that they could barely have imagined. And it's the gap between the king that they wanted and the king who actually came that Palm Sunday is all about. Because the crowds, they welcome Jesus today, but then they get disappointed in him because his agenda isn't their agenda. And by Friday, their welcome has turned to anger. They shout, crucify, instead. They were disappointed by Jesus, and they ended up missing him. Friends, let's not miss him this week when he doesn't fit into our expectations or preferences or prejudices. 500 years before this day, Zechariah had prophesied and he'd written, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout to daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the crowd recognize Jesus' entry as a fulfillment of that prophecy. That's why they get so excited, because they see that he's coming and that this is the king. This is the promised one, the one they've been waiting for. And that's why they celebrated, threw their cloaks on the road, cut branches from the trees, shouted, "Hosanna, save us now." It's the cry of a people for their king. Those who know their Old Testament really well might have spotted that actually Matthew misquotes the Old Testament here. He doesn't quote Zechariah's prophecy right. Don't do that when you quote the Bible. But it's an Aramaic interpretive technique called Midrash Pesha, where the Old Testament prophecy actually says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey." And here in Matthew 21, we get, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey." He skips the righteous and victorious bit. Because what Matthew's doing is he's emphasizing that Jesus has come now in humility. He's not come to rule and judge. He's not come to judge the living and the dead. He's not come to overthrow all human powers. That comes later. And so he kind of deliberately only quotes half the verse to emphasize what Jesus is doing here on the road to the cross and what he will later do at his second coming. But the crowds don't get that. They've missed what Jesus is really intending to do. And you see that with the palm branches. So the palm branch was kind of a symbol of, like a nationalist symbol for Israel at this point, a bit like waving an England flag at the moment. And so when the Jews had thrown off the Syrian regime 150 years earlier in the Maccabean Revolt, they minted new coins for the new state of Israel, and they put palm leaves on the coins because it was the symbol of national identity and pride. So waving palm branches outside Jerusalem and shouting, "Hosanna, save us now, here's the king." It's a political act. They're expecting Jesus to come and overthrow the Romans and restore the nation again. It said, "Here comes the liberator." They wanted the conqueror on the big war horse, someone who's going to ride into Jerusalem, gather the armies, make Israel great again. That's what save us meant to them. And instead, they get the donkey. Zechariah had told them, yes, righteous, yes, victorious, but lowly, gentle. The Hebrew word is ani, which means humble, afflicted, poor. It's not the gleaming armor of a general, but this is the king who comes in the form of a servant. And the crowd were right, just not in the way that they expected, because this is the one who's worthy of worship. This is the liberator. But the liberator that he brings isn't from other people, not from another nation state or people not like us, not from all the power of Rome, but something deeper and darker than Rome ever was. He's come to liberate us from the selfishness and brokenness that's in my heart and your heart, in every human heart, that the Bible calls sin, that separates us from God. The king has come, but not with pride, not self-important. He's come gentle and lowly, riding on a donkey, not to wage war, but to give his life as a sacrifice. Not to kill, but to die, to be hung upon a cross, to take upon himself the weight of human sin, not to mimic the fantasies of the human heart, but to transform them forever. And the crowd couldn't understand this. That's why just 5 days later, they all shout, "Crucify, crucify." They turned on him because they were disappointed. They were confused. But when they shouted "crucify" and they sent him to that cross, they could never have guessed that the cross wouldn't be Jesus' defeat. The cross would be his victory. It's on the cross that Jesus conquers, as he came to do. Conquers not people, not nations, but sin and death itself. On the cross, Jesus wins a victory, not of domination, but of sacrifice, and deals with that problem of sin that's in my heart and yours, where God substitutes himself for us. God in my place and your place. God in Jesus dies the death you deserve to die and I deserve to die. God pays the price in his body for all the wrong that you and I will ever do. He drinks to its dregs the cup of poison that infects us all, and he empties it forever. And so we get new life. We're healed, we're cleaned, we're washed clean, we're forgiven, we're brought into the kingdom of light, we're welcomed into the presence of our God and Savior. Because Jesus has conquered the sin that separates us on that cross. And when Jesus is lifted up, the soldiers put a sign over his head that says, "The King of the Jews." And they mean it as mockery. But they were telling the truth. Because this is exactly where our king does his work. Not on a war horse killing his enemies, but on a cross bleeding for them. That's our king. That's my king. That's our invitation. That's our hope this Holy Week. A few chapters earlier in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus had said to the crowd, he'd said, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." It's the only time in all four Gospels Jesus speaks to his own inner character. And he doesn't say powerful. He doesn't say victorious, though he is both of those. He says, "I am gentle and I am lowly in heart." That's the heart of Jesus laid bare. That's what you find in him when you go all the way down. Not reluctant tolerance of broken people, but eager, tender, unending, compassionate love for you and me in our weakest place. Every other king in history has ruled from strength, ruled from distance, authority that's maintained by who gets to come close and who's not allowed access, guards barring the way. You don't just walk into Buckingham Palace. But the crowds who came to this king couldn't be stopped. Children climbed on him, lepers touched him, prostitutes washed his feet. No one was turned away. This is a king unlike any that the world has ever seen. And the world didn't know what to do with him. So they crucified him. They stumbled over the stumbling block. That's how Jesus describes himself, a stumbling block for the proud. He doesn't fit their expectations and their prejudices and their preconceived ideas. The crowds this Palm Sunday wanted a king on their own terms, a king who'd do what they wanted and solve what they wanted and fight on their side. And they weren't ready for a king who would die for them. They were offended by him. And so they missed it. Friends, let's not miss him this week. Don't be offended when the coming of the king doesn't look like what you want it to, when he doesn't say the things that you want him to say. He is the king, not me, none of us. He calls the shots. He is the way, the only way. He is the truth. He defines what is true. And his way is narrow and few find it. But Palm Sunday is not the end of the story. Zechariah 9 is not the only prophecy about this king. And just as Matthew didn't quote those two words, righteous and victorious, because they were going to come later, there's another vision in Revelation where those do come to pass. And in Revelation 19, John describes seeing a rider on a white horse, that his name is faithful and true, that his eyes are like fire, and on his head are many crowns representing all power and all authority. And on that second coming, it won't be a humble entry into a small city, but a coming in glory to judge the living and the dead. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because he came first to die and to welcome in people from every tribe and every tongue, welcoming all humanity who will receive him into his kingdom. But he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose again, and he is right now risen and ascended, ruling the universe from heaven. And he has sent us his Spirit to welcome us into his courts, into his presence, until his work here on earth is done. My friends, this Sunday, will we receive him as king? Will we let him turn upside down our desires and ambitions and preferences? Will we receive the sacrifice of his life for ours? And come and lay ourselves before him, laying our lives on the altar in return? Will we come and die? Die to our preferences and our wants. Die to our old lives and allow him to purify our hearts and to grow in us his risen life. Will we live lives that are ready for his return in glory, lives that are devoted to his lordship? Will we just cast our crowns before him, bow down in worship? Will we honor him and exalt him and love him as he so deserves? Will we make the space just to gaze at him? Beautiful Jesus. Righteous and victorious, gentle and lowly. Let's not get distracted. Let's give him all that we have. Because he rode into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday knowing exactly what was waiting. He knew the crowd would turn. He knew what the Last Supper would bring. He knew about what awaited him on the top of that hill. He knew about the nails. And he came anyway, not because he had to, but because he chose to. Freely gave himself for us, because rescuing people like you and me was worth it to him. That's why he came. That is the heart of our King, gentle and lowly, willing to be broken so that we don't have to be. And so the hosannas of Palm Sunday were right. Save us. That's exactly what he came to do. And he's done it. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We're free. We're forgiven. We're washed clean. We're being saved here and today from the power of sin as Jesus makes us more like him. And one day when he comes again, our salvation will be complete and we'll be saved even from the presence of sin, perfectly like him as we see him as he is. Every tear wiped away, every enemy defeated, every wrong redeemed. That's our King. The king who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to die. The king who is returning, and he shall reign forever. That's my King. Is he yours this evening? And this Holy Week, will we welcome him? Will we receive him into our hearts? Will we gaze at him, make time for him? Will we make space for him? Will we make room for him? Will we make a way for the King to come and reign in our lives and to receive in our hearts the honor which is his due, to be exalted on the altar of our lives? Will we make space for our King this Holy Week? If you'd stand with me, we're going to do that right now. We're just going to make space, we're going to wait, and then we're going to offer our lives in worship. So if you want to find space, you can do that. If you want to stay where you are, do. There's space around the aisles and around the room. You might find it helpful to hold out your hands, but it's good to say with our bodies what we want to say with our hearts. And let's say, Lord Jesus, beautiful Jesus, Jesus our King, we want to make space for you this week. We want to honor you. Want to bring you our lives in worship. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray, and win our hearts back to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you purify our hearts, we pray. Win us back to you. And as we respond to him this evening, we're just going to respond in worship. That's the response to who our King is. We just give him the honor. We worship him. We lay our lives down before him. And you might want to make a physical response. There's space in the aisles. There's space at the front if you want to kneel at the foot of the cross. If you want to bow before him. If you just want to get away in a corner in the presence of the King. We make space for him. Jesus, we make room for you in our hearts. Come and have your way. Come receive the worship of lives laid down before you. Come be exalted in my life this week. Our hearts are yours, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit.